All right, well, welcome to the Nothing Podcast. We are going to be talking about nothing in NHL things, NHL trade deadline today. So, Joe, what do you want to talk about?
Let's start with our teams, the Leafs and the Habs.
It's probably a good
coincidentally
idea.
Coincidentally made a trade with each other.
Which really never happens.
No, that's why I brought it up, because it rarely happens Toronto trades with anybody in their conference, right? Or in their division, even.
Do you know what the last trade was between these two teams?
Grabowski or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. They got Pettersson, the defenseman from the Leafs, who the Habs traded for, drumroll please, Jordy Benn.
Jordy Benn, wow.
Terrible.
I think Toronto won that one, because we got some few good years out of Grabowski there.
Yeah, and if we didn't trade Pettersson, we'd be okay. But anyways, we did a different trade with you guys.
I don't know. Depth move. They need some extra centers just in case. Because we have Austin Matthews on the IR right now, right? Is he on the IR or just day-to-day, whatever? He's not playing. So yeah. They try Nylander up front in the middle.
See,
good thing they got Pukanets, because they moved him up the next game, because Nylander just cannot do the middle.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he cannot play center, even though he's like – he is very similar to a Jonathan Drouin on my team.
Well, it's not that he can't play it. He's just so much more effective on the wing.
No, he can't play it. He is better on the wing, because he has more creativity that he can do stuff with it, with the puck. There's too much defensive stuff to be a centerman that he just can't do. I just think he's too young to even figure it out at this point.
Okay, I'll give you that. So, not a huge move, but a little depth move, and what did you guys get from Clannitz?
We got Kirby Reichel, and we got a defenseman, Villeneuve? and a second-round pick. I think the second-round pick is really big, because now we have four in the next draft. And if you have more than two, you mean usually they use them for trading up in the draft. You know,
You're not interested in that Reichel part? Because he was part of that Kapanen Kessel trade, I believe.
Yeah.
And there were some high hopes for him as well, but I guess the Leafs are giving up on him.
I think the Leafs can give up on him, because they have so much depth up front. And I am not sure about Reichel, and I'm not sure about the defenseman either, but I heard that the defenseman that we got from you, or from the Leafs, he's ready. He's ready to play in the NHL. That's what I've heard.
We've got a lot of AHL defensemen. I think that's why he was expendable.
Yeah.
We may not have enough NHL caliber defensemen, but I mean, Travis Dermott has come up, and he's been pretty impressive.
He is. I agree. I just I think that there was a missed opportunity by the Leafs. They needed a fourth defense or fourth centerman, I guess, that can kind of play wherever they want. Plekanec can do that. He can play the second line minutes if you need him to, but he's lost a scoring touch in the last few years. You get an upgrade over Dominic Moore for a second round pick and a few prospects. I just don't think it's worth it. Like, I understand why they did it, because Austin Matthews is hurt and he's very good defensively. He can play, he can kill penalties, things like that.
I have two big pluses for Plekanec that the Leafs need. One, as you said, the penalty kill. Yep. They seem to have to kill a lot of penalties. But number two, they needed a second faceoff guy. I mean, you got Bozak, but after that, it's pretty thin on the faceoffs.
Well, Dominic Moore is supposed to be pretty good at that.
I think of this as like last year's bringing in Boyle, right?
Yeah.
A little older, a little more experienced in the playoffs, because that's definitely something they're all lacking in, right? Because they're such a young team. So you bring in a little more experience and a little more upside on the faceoffs.
I agree. I just think that you could use that second round pick and those prospects to get somebody like Ryan McDonagh or JT Miller.
Oh, there's a nice little segue for us. So let's go. Let's talk about the next trade here. The next big one that we want to talk about, the Tampa Bay New York Rangers trade. Summarize that for us.
So Tampa Bay gets Ryan McDonagh and JT Miller. Rangers get a slew. They get a first-round pick. They get a conditional second-round pick. And that condition is if Tampa Bay wins a Stanley Cup in the next 2 years, then it becomes a first round pick.
All right. So let's talk about that first round pick first. It's pretty much going to be like a second round pick. Look where the Tampa Bay is.
I agree, but what I'm trying to get at here, and they got Nemestikov, plus they got two prospects. One was drafted in the first round, and one was drafted in the second round. One's a forward, one's a defenseman. I think that the Rangers just made out like bandits here, but at the same time, I think that Tampa Bay got really, really good getting Ryan McDonough. What's that?
Pretty solid back in the back end there. Did they really need a McDonough?
Why not? You can't have too many good defensemen, especially when the people that or the teams that you're competing with are Toronto and Boston. That yeah, sure, they can score, but if you can stop them from scoring, we know that Toronto can't stop the puck from going in their own net. So,
hey, plus 33 differential. Keep talking.
Sure, sure, but I just don't think that they're going to stop the puck. And I think that Toronto should have been the one making this trade for McDonough or and JT Miller.
And what do you think they would have had to give up for that?
So I've seen some like super weird comparisons of like, you know, Zach Hyman and like Matt Martin. I was like, no, but that's not if I'm the Rangers, I'm not going after any of those. I want Nylander.
Not happening, but keep going.
You're looking at him as a center, and he's not. Liljegren, Korshkov, a first round, a second round for JT Miller and Ryan McDonough. I would have done that in a heartbeat if I was the Leafs, because JT Miller, look how many points he has right now. He is just probably 2 or 3 points behind your precious Nylander.
Yeah, but look at their contracts too. What do their contracts look like?
They're both still on entry level deals. And here's what I'm getting at is I think that Ryan McDonough and JT Miller are way better right now than a Nylander is ever going to be. You get those two players for
Miller at a higher potential than Nylander after he won the MVP of the World Cup.
If you're going for it right now, both of them.
Yeah, I agree. McDonough would have been great addition to the defense core.
I think that they're going to pay for it.
I'm not going to deny that. However, what they've stated right from the beginning of this huge rebuild from when Shanahan came in and they brought in Babcock is they are not selling the future for right now. They want these kids to learn how to win together. They don't want to just start, you know, trading all the young guys and putting in not rentals. I don't want to call them rentals because McDonough's under contract for a few more years, right?
He's under contract till next year.
Till the end of next year.
End of next year.
So that's not, I wouldn't consider that a rental. He still has a year. And he's still pretty young. He's only 27, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So in that case, yes. In McDonough's case, that would have been a good addition. However, giving up Nylander, I don't know. He's pretty important to the team right now. I mean, just look at the game against Florida last night.
Sure, but like you have the depth up front. You have a Kapanen. You have guys like that. And JT Miller can step right in to a winger or a center position right now. He is the guy, and he's got way more grit. Eventually, the Leafs are going to have to come to the realization that they have to trade one of the top three guys that they have, Marner, Austin Matthews, or Nylander. Pick which one you want to trade right now. Tell me which one you
think they have enough cap space for all three?
I don't think they will.
They're riding pretty thin right now in terms of the contracts amounts, aren't they?
They got to sign.
Still have some baggage.
They got to sign a number one defenseman in the next 2 years.
No, I think the Leafs believe they have a number one in Riley. Whether or not you agree, that's a different story.
He's not a number one right now. I think he's got to prove it.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a little up and down. He was a lot better last year. He's digressed a little bit this year, but he's young, so that's fine. I think they're just betting on him for the future. But in terms of, like, the current players and their contracts, what they add up to, I think they'll have a lot of space once they clear things like, you know, Joffrey Leupold's contract.
I agree with that.
That's still there. That's lingering. They're kind of just waiting for it to clear out. Once it clears out, they should be able to sign all three big guys.
I agree with that, but I would rather have McDonough and Miller for this year's playoff run over Nylander in a heartbeat.
Not just Nylander. Don't forget the picks too.
Yeah, I understand that. But again, if they're going to be at the top, they're going to be lower picks. You made the same comment earlier, is that these picks are going to be lower. So what do they matter? You're getting two bona fide NHL veteran, one bona fide veteran, and one guy who's still on his entry level deal. You take that.
This is all speculation, of course, because we don't even know if that deal would have ever have happened, if New York even wanted Nylander. That's true.
But
this was even on the table. So let's move on.
Yeah,
we've lingered on this one.
Speaking about deals that didn't happen.
I thought we're going to go San Jose Buffalo next.
Oh, right.
Evander Kane.
Right.
The eternal troublemaker.
This guy, if he does not pull his crap together and just start being a teammate, a guy who doesn't care only about himself, he's not going to get paid. And he wants to get paid.
I don't know what he's doing. And he's got talent. He's got speed. Like, he's got a scoring touch. We've seen it over and over again. It's just he can't be a professional. There's no other words. He's just not a professional.
He can't get his...
He just shows up whenever he feels like it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you just put some effort into it, he's going to get... Let me put it this way. He's going to get paid. And I think he's going to get paid by a dumb team. A team that is...
A desperate team
who's going to be looking for scoring. Sure. Or a Montreal who's going to be like, we really need scoring, so we're going to pay him $7 million a year. Which I think is the dumbest thing in the world. But
what do you think it's going to take, like, to get him to straighten up? Like, in San Jose, you got Joe Thornton out, and that's one of the main reasons they had to bring him in. They're very thin down the middle now. But you need a solid captain, although I guess Thornton's not the captain anymore. Pavelski is. But you need a solid captain to just basically straighten him out.
Yeah. And I think that because I heard on the news that Joe Thornton actually met Evander Kane at the airport and drove him around. Well, not drove him around, but took him in the limo, drove the limo around with him. And I'm hoping that Joe said something along the lines of, yo, you're a good player. How about you get your head out of your, you know, and start playing some hockey?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm rooting for him because in his moments of glory, it's just so pretty to watch. But they're just fleeting moments, and that's the problem.
Right. And he will eventually, but will it be too late? And it's going to take him, because if he signs with a team like Arizona and he just keeps losing and losing and losing and losing, he's not going to learn. He's just going to continue being a jackass.
True. All right. That's enough on Kane. Let's hope the San Jose Sharks straighten him out and he becomes what he should be.
Agreed.
It's a solid top six. Right?
But what about St. Louis? Do you even think they're going for it anymore? What are they doing?
Did you see the Braden Schenn comment? I think it was on Twitter or just a quote from an interview with a reporter. But he said, we're 2 points out. What are we doing getting rid of this guy?
Right.
He's so important to our team. This is a quote from Schenn, who's on the team.
It's insane. And they traded him to a team that they may have to face in the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't understand this trade. Are they calling it quits for the year? They're only, 2 points out? I don't get it.
I don't even know what they have for guys to replace them. Like, do they have centerman depth?
No. No, they're not even 2 points out. They are tied with Anaheim for the last wild card spot. So, as of this recording.
Jeez. I think they're pretty stupid at that point.
And they're retaining half the salary, right?
Yeah. Like, if you're Tampa Bay, if you're Winnipeg, you do this in a heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I agree. Maybe there was some kind of cultural fit problem. Although he's been there for a while, so I don't understand. Maybe there's some disagreements with other teammates. It's the only thing I could think of. Because from an organization standpoint, it doesn't make sense to me. You're on the cusp of the playoff. You're fighting for a wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting rid of – he's he's got some pretty big numbers in the past. Maybe not. Yeah, he slowed down a bit, but he's still pretty effective. His first game in Winnipeg, a goal and assist.
He's still got big numbers now. Like, I think he's got over 40 points.
I would call that big, but...
Well, it's big enough for a second-line center.
Sure.
I'm telling you right now, if Montreal had a second-line center with that many points... Line? He would have been their second-line center.
How are they using him?
They would have a second-line center. That's what I'm assuming they would put him in. I really don't know.
All right. Other teams that didn't do anything. Disappointed this one. You've talked about this before. The Islanders. They needed a goalie.
So I just...
What did they do this trade deadline? Nothing.
Nothing. They got Davinson, a defenseman that's been let go from two teams off waivers. And they actually gave a fourth round pick for this guy. I think it was a fourth round pick.
And yes, the defense needed some help, but I agreed with you. They need a goalie more than another defenseman.
It's worse. They gave a third round pick for a guy that they could have got on waivers at the beginning of the year and hasn't played in the NHL much. Brandon Davidson's not that good.
So, yeah, what are they doing? Are they giving up?
I would hope not. I would assume they want to convince Jonathan or John Tavares that they want to contend a little bit. But I saw them today, as of this recording, play the Islanders or the Habs today, and they played like garbage. Like, we were joking about which team wants to lose more. The Habs tried so hard to lose this game. They gave up three breakaways on one power play, which was the Habs power play.
And they dressed Niemi in that too.
And they dressed they want to lose. They want to lose, and they still aren't losing. So
yeah, I don't get it. The Islanders are tied with Carolina, 65 points right now. They're 4 points back of the last wildcard spot in the East, which is held by Columbus at 69 points. I mean, they're in the mix. I mean, Florida's, they're saying they're in the mix. They're at 64 points. Yet the Islanders did nothing. And they needed it.
They needed a goalie. Badly. Like,
Philly needed a goalie. They went out and got Mrazek. That was a great move.
Which goalie would you have gone out and got if you're the Islanders? I have one that's kind of out left field, but hear me out. I heard
Lehner in Buffalo was potential move.
That would have been a good move. You know,
his numbers don't look great, but that's because his team is such garbage.
Right. But the Islanders team, they can score, but they can't play defense. Right. So he's probably going to be the same. You need a changer, a game changer, a guy who can come in.
It's a lot worse than New York. Come on.
Yes, I agree. But hear me out. You ready? I don't think anybody's ever thought about this because it would be absolutely crazy for this to happen, mainly because of his contract. But Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be traded because they dressed that Gorgiev guy instead for the last few games, right?
Yeah.
So I thought they were doing what everyone does, which is they withhold people they're about to trade so they don't get hurt. Nash sat on the bench for a few days. You know, you had Patrick Maroon on the bench for a few days because they knew they were going to trade him.
Right.
So they're protecting him. So I thought they were doing that with Lundqvist too. But I agree. That would have been a good pickup for the Islanders. But Lundqvist has stated he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Does he have no trade in his contract there?
I have no idea. But he wouldn't go anywhere is what I'm trying to get at here. He's going what? He's going from Manhattan to the Bronx, dude. He'll be fine, right? Like, yeah,
he wouldn't even have to move.
Right, he wouldn't have to move his anything, right? Like, he wouldn't have to move anywhere, really. He wouldn't have to move his family. He wouldn't have to do anything like that.
Well, here's the flip side: do the Islanders have anything to give for a goalie like that, or even for like a Mrazek or a Lehner?
Well, this is the reason why I think that they should have gone for Henrik Lundqvist. You ready for this? Henrik Lundqvist is getting paid $8.5 million until 2022. Or 21.
All right. So the next 3 years or so?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be a deal? $8.5 million?
You want to pay a 38-year-old $8.5 million when you're rebuilding as a New York Ranger? You just want to get rid of that contract at that point.
In the perspective of the Rangers, sure. But do Islanders want that right now?
Absolutely. They want somebody who can come in.
Could they? Maybe they have cap issues.
I can find out right now. But, like, you look at – I don't think they have cap issues. But they might.
Well, there's one cap issue, which is not right now. It's next year. And that's John Tavares.
Okay, so here we go.
He's going to get paid.
Current cap space is $6 million for the Islanders. So they would have to get rid of $3 million, $4 million probably.
Or have the Rangers eat half the salary, which apparently all these trades are happening.
Yeah, so I would assume that the Rangers would eat some of the salary, but they would get like a Brock Nelson or like a something like that, you know? Brock Nelson is probably the guy. They would probably have to take on Halak's expiring contract at $4.5 million, but that's what they want. They want an expiring contract, right?
Yeah, true. I don't know. We don't have the contacts inside, so we don't know.
Yeah, but that's if I'm the Islanders, that's the guy I would have went for because he can change the entire game for them, especially if their defense are terrible.
I just pulled out Lehner because he's younger and he's on an expiring contract. So
also true.
It's kind of like a tryout this year. The rest of this year would have been a tryout, and if it worked out, they could have signed him to a longer term contract. I think Robin Lehner has
way more upside.
He's a pretty solid goalie. He's a lot up. Like, he's younger. He's on a terrible team right now, so you can't tell. But if you watch him, he is a pretty solid goalie. I think he'd do well on a better team.
I agree. I think he will next year. I think he might be an Islander next year, even if you look at what the Islanders have. Like, they are terrible. Like, bad. Like, Thomas Greiss they have signed until 2020 for $3 million a year, though, but he's terrible.
Well, he's supposed to be a backup.
Yeah. And that's a very expensive backup. They wanted to rotate these guys, Halak and Greiss. That's what they wanted to do. Spend $7 million on two goaltenders.
Like 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Yeah, but they forgot that Greiss is terrible. Anyways, that's right.
One more trade deadline topic here that we need to touch on, which is Thomas Tatar to Vegas.
Oh, gosh. Now,
I'm not sure why they did this either. And did you see what they gave up for this trade?
You tell me. Tell me what they gave up. Tell everybody.
So a first round pick, 2018 first round pick, 2019 second round pick, and 2021 third round pick.
That's a lot for a guy who hasn't scored much and is always hurt.
Yeah, and did they even need him?
Maybe. I think this is one of those trades where, because of the expansion draft, that Vegas has an embarrassment of riches in the first, second, and third rounds for the next few years. And I really think that's where it's coming from. Like, I also think that James Neal's out the door soon because he's on an expiring deal. So they needed someone to be there to maybe pick up the slack goal scoring wise, maybe. I guess.
You're going to replace James Neal with Thomas Tatar?
I guess.
I don't know about that.
I agree. I really don't know what they're doing.
Looking at the trade with the Sharks at the same time. Conditional 2019 first round pick, conditional 2020 fourth round pick, and a forward Daniel Reagan. I mean, I would have taken Evander Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
if you think you can control him, he has way more upside than Tatar to me.
So here's the kicker. Are you ready for this? James Neal is getting paid $5 million a year. He's 30 years old. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. But Thomas Tatar is making $5.3 million until 2021. He's 27.
Sure, but he doesn't score as much as James Neal.
No, he doesn't. I'm just saying that it's absolutely insane. By the way, if you were wondering where David Clarkson's contract is, it's in Vegas. He's also getting paid $5.2 million until 2020.
He went from Toronto to Columbus to Vegas. Is that?
Yeah.
So I've lost a trail.
Yeah. Somehow he's in Vegas now.
All right.
Yeah.
So because they needed to meet their cap.
Yeah. And here's something that's really interesting. I'm going through their draft picks for the next few years. They're talking about Vegas. I just said they have an embarrassment of riches. They do, but not in 2018, in 2019. Because they just traded all of their picks for this year. They have 1 second rounder, 2 fourth rounders, 2 fifth rounders, and 2 sixth rounders. That's it.
I think they did a 180. I don't think they thought they'd be in this position.
No.
To be actually contending for the cup. And I would consider them a legitimate contender.
I agree.
So yeah. They said, well, I guess we're not rebuilding because we're contending now. So let's do this. Yeah. But then they went out and got Thomas Tatar. I don't know.
Which is crazy to think of. So if you think about the Vegas, who is their because this is me and my buddy were having a conversation about this earlier. Who is the face of the franchise in Las Vegas?
Marc-Andre Fleury.
I agree. He said it was James Neal.
No.
Because James Neal was the first superstar that they brought in before the draft and all this other stuff.
I don't consider him a superstar. I consider him a solid forward.
Yep, me too.
Look at Fleury's resume.
Yeah.
He's got 3 cups, right?
Yep. He is the guy. I agree with you.
And he has been the guy literally when he was there, or when he was playing before he got injured. He literally carried the team to their record. And still doing it now that he's back.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think it's Marc-Andre Fleury by a landslide. So
and then the rest of the crew, it's just like a ragtag bunch of guys. But I want to give credit where credit is due, and I think he's going to get to Jack Adams, which is Gerard Gallant.
Yes, absolutely. Give it to him now.
Yeah, there's no way. If he doesn't get it, I'm quitting my job. Wait, my job has nothing to do with it. Maybe I won't do that. That won't affect anything.
Who else would get it?
Babcock?
No. Maybe the guy in Winnipeg? Some guy who used to go... what's his name again?
I forget his name. Why do I not know his name? Maurice.
Yes. Paul Maurice. There you go.
Paul Maurice, yeah.
He's done quite a good job in Winnipeg.
So you got Maurice... Gallant, you don't give Babcock any credit for this performance of these young guys.
But over those two,
Toronto hater. But come on,
but over those two guys though, will you take them over those two guys?
I'm just saying in consideration.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I give them consideration.
Like, there's going to be 3 or 4 nominees, right? And it's not going to just declare a winner. They're going to say, okay, you're the finalists.
No, on this podcast we declare winners, and Gallant is the winner.
No, I agree with you. I think he should win it. I'm just saying, who are the guys in the conversation?
Yeah, okay, I'll give Babcock, Paul Maurice, definitely. Those are the 3 top guys to me. Maybe the guy in Boston, but he kind of inherited a good team. So
yeah,
I that's what I think is going to happen, man. I think
it's about Gallant in Nashville. Anything?
I am secretly hoping that Golden Knights win the cup.
I want to see them go to the finals, that's for sure. Them or Winnipeg. I would love to see Vegas or Winnipeg in the cup final.
I agree. The West, that's exactly what I would like.
Yeah.
In the East, anybody but Toronto. In the East, anybody but Toronto. That's my thing.
It's going to be a tough hill to climb for Toronto anyways.
I agree. They have to
go through either Boston or Tampa Bay or both.
Although
waiting for them, maybe Pittsburgh or Washington.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's going to be crazy.
The East is going to be tough. But in the West, very realistic that Winnipeg or Vegas comes out of it.
I think that those are the two teams. I think if LA gets in, that it's going to be scary.
You know what? This is a perfect segue for our last topic of the day, which is playoffs. Who's in? Who's out?
Done.
All right. Let's go to the East.
All right.
All right. So we got... Should we start at the bottom here?
Yeah, let's start at the bottom.
I think in the Atlantic, we got Tampa, Toronto, Boston. They're what?
They're 10 locked. 10
points clear of the next game.
Yeah, they're locked.
I don't think that's happening. Yeah, they're locked.
Yeah.
A little more movement in Metropolitan.
Yep.
Because you got, what is it, Columbus?
No, you have Washington. Jersey, you got Philadelphia. Jersey,
2 points behind Pittsburgh.
Right? Oh, you're
so. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. You got Jersey 2 points behind Pittsburgh there.
Yeah.
And then Columbus 7 points back. So there could still be some movement in the top three of the Metro there. But the interesting race to me in the East is the wild card spot.
Yes, I think that Pittsburgh is in. I don't believe Philadelphia unless Peter Mrazek can stand on his head.
Which he's already done.
Yes, so he could do that. And he'll look like a steal. He will look like a steal.
I agree. That was good pick up. So we got the Devils, who made a whole bunch of trades as well.
Yep.
They're in the first wild card spot at 74 points. And then following them is Columbus at 69 points. Did they do anything at the trade deadline, Columbus?
Yes, they did. They
got Thomas Vanek?
Yes, they did.
For UC Open and Tyler Mott.
He's had a pretty good season. He doesn't play defense worth a damn, but he can definitely put the puck in the net, and that's what they need there. He's going to play 13 million or 13 minutes. He's going to play 13 minutes a game, and he's going to play it all in the power play, pretty much. That's pretty much a Thomas Vanek. That's what he does.
All right. So after Columbus, 4 points back, we have Carolina and the Islanders. Tied at 65 points. And then a point behind them, Florida, 64 points. After that, I'm saying they're done. Detroit, Rangers, Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, they're done.
Yeah, they're absolutely done.
Florida, New York, Carolina have a shot of overtaking Columbus, but...
I think because of Roberto Luongo coming back, I can't believe the New Jersey is where they are, but they're going to be in the playoffs. They're almost 10 points ahead of the next team that could, like, there's no way. 10 points in 30 games, they would have to lose a lot to make that happen.
In 20 games.
20 games, yeah. So, but here's why I say Florida is going to come out on top here. Roberto Luongo, for one. Two, they have 3 games in hand on Columbus.
Right. That would be a 6-point differential if they win them all. That would put them a point ahead of Columbus.
That's right. And I think the Islanders are terrible. We've already discussed them ad nauseum. They're absolutely terrible. They can score with everybody, but they can't keep the puck out of their own net.
Even their scoring is a little streaky sometimes.
That's true. And it's been cold, ice cold the last 5 games. Terrible.
So you don't give Islanders a shot. So you got, how about Carolina? They've been a surprise for me this year.
Me too.
I think they'd be in this position to be fighting for a playoff spot.
I think it comes down to the Columbus, Carolina, and Florida, and I think Florida's going to take it. Just because
of those three teams, you think Florida's going to take it?
I think so, and that's just because I'm not a huge fan of Columbus, but it comes down to goaltending to me, and I just don't think Carolina has the goaltending, and I think that Bobrovsky's the best goaltender out of all those. So Columbus should win, but I like the underdog, so I'm going to go with Florida.
All right. There you go. So let's move over to the West.
Oh, do you agree or not agree? Who are you taking? You can't get out of this.
I don't know if I give it to Florida. I think Columbus is going to hang on.
All right.
They got Bobrovsky too.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Do we have a board? We should get a board.
Yeah, we'll get a bet board going.
All right.
We'll keep telling. How about that?
All right, let's do that.
So there's our first bet. Our first bet. John Z thinks Florida is going to make it in, and I think Columbus is going to make it in.
Put it on the board.
It's on the board.
All right.
Let's go to the West.
All right.
So we got Central, we got Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota. I think Nashville, Winnipeg are locks.
Yep.
There's still a chance somebody can catch Minnesota, right?
I think so. I think Dallas could catch them. They're only 3 points back. St. Louis
is only 5 points back of Minnesota as well. So if Minnesota falters in the last 20 games, they may lose it. They've been streaky, iffy this year too.
And they didn't really do anything at the deadline.
No, nothing. I think they're just happy with their team and hope they can make it in. Like, all right, up to the Pacific.
Pacific?
Vegas. I got Vegas as a lock. And I'm, to be honest, San Jose, LA, I don't know. I don't consider them locks, but if you look at that division, you only got Calgary and Anaheim that have possibilities of jumping over them.
I'm secretly hoping that Calgary gets in, mainly because they have a soft spot in my heart. But I think that LA is going to be I think they're going to be really, really good in the playoffs. You think about who they have on their back end now with Dion Phaneuf back there. I just think it's going to be really hard to score on them.
Did you just spin Dion Phaneuf as a positive?
Yeah. He's playing like...
Is it because he's not on the Leafs anymore?
No, it's because he's not playing top defensive pairing minutes. He's playing... He's getting paid like a first liner, but he's been, a number three or four his whole career almost. Well, since he's been in Toronto.
No, he was a 1-2 in Toronto, right? And in Ottawa too.
Yeah, I don't. There's like a hum in the back now.
My apologies. That's the garage door. My wife's coming on.
Yeah, man, I think that LA is a lock because I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, no, they are a solid team. I think they're underachieving right now.
100%. I agree.
And how about the Sharks? You think they'll get in? They'll limp in or what? Without?
I think it comes down to Evander Kane.
If he can fill in the shoes of Thornton there?
Yeah, if he can fill
Joe, Jumbo Joe?
If he can do that and if he can, get his head out of his rear end, I think he'll be all right.
So then we got the...
We got Dallas and Anaheim at the wild cards.
Dallas and Anaheim. And St. Louis is right in there with 74, tied with Anaheim. Yeah. And Calgary at 73. I'm done with Colorado and below. I don't think Colorado is going to make it. They've had a surprising year to me this year.
Yep.
But I don't think they have what it takes to finish this off.
I think they have a chance. I think now with MacKinnon back, I think they have a chance. I just don't think they're going to make it. I think it's Calgary. They like I said, soft spot, man. If they get Mike Smith back and Mike Smith is Mike Smith, I think they'll be okay.
That's the key I was going to bring up. They need Mike Smith if they're going to make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, they got two AHL guys going in for them right now, and I don't know.
No, not for this. Not for the final stretcher. It's not going to happen. So Chicago, disappointing season. I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. And of course, Edmonton, another disappointment after last year. And Vancouver, Arizona, I think we knew that, even though Vancouver came out of the gates flying.
Yep.
We knew that wasn't going to continue. And as a standing show, it has normalized itself and they're at the bottom.
Yep. And here's my question. Let's go back. Who do you think are going to finish the wild card? Then I have a question afterwards.
Well, we talked about St. Louis selling for whatever reason, even though they're in the hunt. Anaheim, they're strong. I think it's going to – I want Calgary to go in, but I think it's going to finish the way it looks right now, which is Dallas and Anaheim in the wild card spots.
I haven't looked at the schedules and stuff. I think Anaheim is too good to not be in the playoffs. I think that they need John Gibson to play because he's been not playing. And when he is playing, he's not playing very well. They're leaning on Ryan Miller right now, and that's kind of terrible. So so I hope that they make it in, but I don't trust Dallas at all. I do not trust them at all. I think they're a good team, but I think that they have that potential to fall apart in the next 20 games.
I agree, but they're pretty solid in goalie.
Yes.
If they can just, you know, block a couple shots in front of them or something, they should be okay.
Yeah.
Just play a little bit of defense. I'm not asking much here. Just okay. A little bit.
I'm gonna say the St. Louis gets in. Over Dallas. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna go on a limb here. Even though I think it's a very no, you know what? Scratch that. I'm going with Calgary. That's my heart. Yeah. I've got it. That's Calgary to be the eighth seed. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
And Anaheim going to seven and Dallas dropping out.
Yeah, I think Dallas has got a – I think that they're going to – maybe it's I just don't believe in Tyler Seguin. Maybe it's – maybe I don't like Ben Bishop. But I just don't think – they're going to – I love Jamie Benn. Oh. You know what I wish Jamie Benn was? I wish Jamie Benn was Jordy Benn.
Because he's in Montreal.
Yeah, that's right.
They sure could use him.
That's right.
That's for sure.
So here's my question. Last question of the podcast. Which team next year do you think is going to be better? Colorado, Chicago, Edmonton, or Vancouver?
I'm going to have to go with Edmonton, even though maybe because I picked them this year. I drafted Talbot in the pool, but they have underachieved immensely. They got some cleaning up to do. They got some defense to pick up maybe in the offseason. Any defense out there with an expiring contract this offseason that they can pick up maybe from free agency? They need something in the back end there.
I think that Edmonton is a good choice, but to stick to my theme of the picking teams, I'm going to go with Vancouver.
You see, well, yeah, they've got some exciting young forwards. I'm not.
they potentially have the
room on pace for the Calder, but I think Barzal's got that locked.
I think Barzal's got it too, but I still like Bo Horvat has been unreal when he's healthy.
Yes, I agree. And when he's healthy.
And if you see some of the, if I don't know, I haven't really dug in on Vancouver much, but I know that they have some very, very good defensemen in their minor league system. I just don't know how close they are. If they're close, as in next year close, they have Thatcher Demko coming up. He's an amazing goaltending prospect. I think that they're doing it right there. I think they're rebuilding right, except for I don't know what they're doing trading at the deadline, but signing the defenseman, what's his name? But anyways, doesn't matter. I think that's the team. I think they're gonna be good.
I think their biggest problem is goaltending though.
For now. But I think Thatcher Demko is gonna be the real deal. And he could potentially come in and take that job next year. They were thinking about doing it this year, but they're doing the Corey Schneider approach and not giving it to him.
Well, they got Anders Nielsen and Jakob Markstrom, right?
Yep.
They brought in Markstrom to be the number one.
Yep.
And I don't think I agree with it, and I think the record shows.
Yes. And I don't know how long he signed for. I'm just looking it up right now.
Yeah, I don't know what the contracts look like for those two goalies.
So they signed Markstrom to 3 more years. Or he's signed until 1920, so 2 more years after this one.
Ugh. How about Nielsen? Can they get rid of one of them? Like, no one's going to pick up
Markstrom
contract.
No, but I think – well, he's only getting paid $3.6 mil, which isn't too bad of a – hit if you
for a backup,
but if you're a team like the Islanders, you take a chance on Markstrom.
Wouldn't How about you? Nilsson? What's his contract look like? Anders Nilsson.
He's got 2 years, 1 year left next year for $2.5 million.
Yeah, why didn't they go out and try to get one of those goalies?
Yeah, either one
of those. But the Islanders here.
Yeah.
Because if Vancouver really was bringing up the future next year,
yeah,
wouldn't they want to get rid of one of those guys?
I would think so.
All right. Well, that's why we're not the GMs, I guess.
That's right.
It seems so simple for us.
To end the podcast, I want to...
Oh, wait. Are we putting the wild card thing on the board here? You're picking Calgary to jump over Dallas? Or Anaheim to go to 7? Calgary to go to 8 and Dallas falls out?
No, I'm not putting that on the board. I don't feel strongly about that.
Okay, but the most improved team next year. It's funny, none of us picked Chicago or Colorado.
I think Colorado
Chicago.
I think Colorado.
How can we not pick Chicago?
No.
What happened to them?
I think Colorado is gonna be better than Chicago next year.
Oh. Yeah. What they fell fast, that Chicago team.
And hard. Them trading Panarin to Columbus was so stupid. Sad is sad. He's just a sad player.
I'll let that one slide.
Thanks, buddy.
That was terrible. But, yeah.
No, but he's...
All right, so we're putting that on the board. Most improved team next year.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You have Vancouver, I have Edmonton?
Yes.
All right.
Put it on the board.
I'll put that on the board.
All right. So my last thing to end the podcast is, where do you think Grabowski's contract is right now?
Mikhail Grabowski.
Yep. We brought him up earlier about the Panarin trade with Montreal.
Not Panarin. It was the other trade. Other defenseman in Montreal. Is he still an Islander?
He is not an Islander anymore.
Because he was there with Nikolai.
Yeah, I'll give you one more guess.
Where did he go after that? I don't know. I'm blank.
He is in Las Vegas, baby.
He's on the Vegas system right now?
Yeah.
Is he playing in the AHL or
so?
What's he doing?
Apparently Vegas is where contracts go to die.
So they got Clarkson and Grabowski
and Grabowski. Yeah.
Filling out lines on a piece of paper. That's it.
That's right. Just to get them to the cap floor, I guess.
Yeah. So is he not playing? Is he in the AHL? What is he?
I don't know what he's doing right now. He's getting paid $5 million to do whatever he's doing.
So they got $10 million in contracts. Collection's about five, right?
Yep.
They got $10 million in contracts for players that aren't going to be playing anytime soon.
That's right. Crazy.
Wow. Talk about overachieving over there.
Right.
Because the rest of their roster, not a huge cap hit.
What we need to do for this week until the next time we record is to look for jobs that we can get paid a lot of money for doing nothing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We'll email Wade Redden. How about that?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have a few good options for us.
Yeah. He's the master of that, right?
That's right. Or Rick DiPietro, who's probably still getting paid right now.
I think so. Because he had that crazy... 13 years or whatever.
Oh, that's
the very first one of that kind.
So great.
I love it because they're Mike Commodore too. He was in the AHL after some big contracts, but I heard stories of Redden. You know, he's riding the bus with AHLers, but he's making, you know, $6-8 million a year or whatever.
Yeah.
So he'd be buying everyone everything.
Of course he would.
Car.
Yeah.
Dinner's on me, guys.
Anyways, dinner's on you next time.
Well, we'll see what these bets on the board look turn out. Then we'll talk about it.
We know how you bet. I win always.
Yeah, but the podcast world doesn't know that yet. So shh.
Quiet. All right, well, this is the Nothing Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Joe.
We're signing out.
Till next time.
Peace.
See you later, everybody.